Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 31st of December, recording at 5:54 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, I'm still battling this cold, so apologies for the nasal tones. Also, I gather from Mark Lowry that a few of you, I hope it's only a few, had some trouble downloading the audio or hearing the audio, and that these problems have only arisen since the 21st of December, when I switched to a new computer. Now, Mark did notify the IT department. Now, they will be back in on Tuesday, and we'll certainly get them checking on this. My own thoughts, and I am no techie, as you'll appreciate, my own thoughts are that because I had upgraded all my software in switching computers, I have a more recent version of the Real Audio Player, and that may be causing some complications if your version of Real Audio is over a couple of years old. So, on the off chance that might help you, if you're still having problems, you might consider downloading or re-downloading Real Audio Player. But say that's only a guess on my part, and I'll see what the technicians say on Tuesday. Now, this being Friday, this is my big picture long-term outlook, which I'm going to do in a bit of an abbreviated fashion here, because the story really hasn't changed from last Friday, and particularly after what's been a very, very quiet week. So, basically, my view is that I would proceed on the conservative assumption that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, defined here as a generational-long process of P/E ratio contraction and rising yields for equities. Now, this will not occur in any sort of straight line, but in a series of waves. And moreover, a secular bear market is hardly the end of the world, because a lot of that increase in yield and a lot of the decline in P/E ratios can occur due to GDP growth. Additionally, liquidity will be a huge factor. It's always a huge factor. Monetary policy will be an enormous factor in terms of how stock markets actually form, and monetary policy has been pretty abundant, and that has helped to keep equity prices buoyant in many many markets. Now, we cannot assume, we should not assume, that monetary policy is always going to be so accommodative. It most certainly won't, but it remains that way right now. And to shorten the time horizon and deal with the technical bull within this secular bear, which started predictably in March 2003, was then subject to a long interruption, mainly in 2Q and 3Q 2004, and then resumed following upward dynamics off lows in mid-August, and continues today. You might have had a good look at those charts of Australia and New Zealand that I posted yesterday. If you haven't, because you were away or whatever, do have a look at those, and I'll be commenting on those almost daily here. Australia was down just a tiny bit, but only 4 points, 0.11%, whereas New Zealand closed up today, just reaffirming its overall uptrend. Among developed markets, I regard those as the most important of the lead indicators for this cycle, and a number of emerging markets are also in that lead pole position. And it's a crowded area, actually, which is good, as we've got more to monitor, and most of those stay in form. I haven't seen much beyond periodic consolidations, which are mostly shallow. Now, on the basis of that commonality, I am very much of the view that the global stock market rally is intact and will carry higher. Meanwhile, in here today, we had, a number of markets were closed, but we had mostly where we had changes, modest gains in Asia. Mixed performance in Europe, up a few points, down a few points. The Dow, or the U.S. market, as I speak, is virtually unchanged. The Dow down 5. It has been up as much as 10 to 12. And the S&P down 0.65 of 1 point. And NASDAQ up just a tiny fraction. It's a very, obviously, very, very quiet day. And soon to close. I'm continuing to play the global stock market rally. And my leveraged position is in Japan, and I have a number of long-term investments, mostly in Asia. I also have some supply inelasticity shares, which are, I was about to say, are doing less well at the moment. That's not entirely true. The Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, that's been testing its highs over the last week. And I I'm content to run with all of these positions right now. Now, moving on to bonds, and I put out a piece, was it yesterday or the day before, just saying that the technical evidence from bond futures indicated a loss of momentum on the recent rallies. It wasn't all conclusive, but I was still looking for U.S. Treasuries to lead the way down. That's bond prices. Now, they did rally yesterday, and they've rallied here again today. They're currently 112.15, so that's up 23.30. Not a bad move over the last couple of days. So retracing about half of that decline that we had seen over the previous week and a half. I maintain this is still a baby step situation. I maintain in terms of the big picture long-term outlook that Treasury bonds and indeed most other government bond markets peaked, ended secular bull markets in June of 2003, and that the long-term outlook for prices is downwards. The long-term outlook for yields, therefore, is higher. Why? Because there's too much debt around, so supply. Also, the seeds of the next inflationary cycle have been sown, and the big risk, the big long-term risk, is inflation, not deflation. Although the market, judging from the last cycle, when an inflationary cycle was finally tackled by central banks and then replaced or then gave way to a disinflationary cycle, most people, in terms of expectations, were looking for a repeat of inflation while it was steadily on the wane. And that was the case for a number of years. And so I wouldn't be all that surprised if that wasn't also the case this time around in reverse. In other words, that people will still be fearing deflation long after it ceased to be a problem, and the inflationary pressures continue to build. Now, in terms of currencies, I did a long piece on the dollar today, so I won't review all that. For the record, we have seen some profit taking in the euro here today, which is hardly surprising. I mean, the euro got up and touched right on its high, getting up to 136.61, then dipped back to 135.14, currently 135.61, that's down 76 ticks. I think this is very much in anticipation of returning Euroland bureaucrats on Monday and throughout next week, who are likely to recommence jawboning. I think that's pretty much a given. I doubt that it'll have any big impact. But some people may well want to switch to other plays against the U.S. dollar, and not least being the Australian dollar, which is in form here today, 78.28 That's up 30 ticks as I speak. Boy, this voice is fading fast, isn't it? I better try to sprint through this. Elsewhere, in metals, gold strikes me as reasonably good value here at 438. Now, overall, my big strategy here is to say that gold is in the accumulation zone after setbacks of between $20 and $50, and we'll see far more setbacks of, say, $20 to $30 than we will see of $40 to $50, inevitably. So just because you see a $25, $30 setback, you know, you don't want to be completely deterred on the basis that it might be a $50 setback. And the setbacks are most likely, well, the bigger setbacks are most likely to follow periods of upward acceleration. And we haven't seen that much of that that recently, although gold is still in a short-term consolidation phase, evidenced by the pullback from highs that we had had seen, I believe, last month. Now, I do notice that the gold shares and the gold mining indices are underperforming in here a bit, so clearly the stock market is a little bit wary, and our stock market investors are a little bit wary, and sometimes that's been a bit of a lead indicator for bullion. But I stick to my guns here that gold is quite good value at this price level, and certainly on any further easing I would not hesitate to pick it up. Meanwhile, I continue to maintain a speculative position in gold, and I have a number of gold investments also, as you know. I'm going to stop for a moment and blow my nose. Apologies for that. Now back in business, in a manner of speaking. Boring these golds. Okay. So gold and its proxies. My favorite being silver. I continue to like on any setbacks. We need to use charts. We need to be conscious of the timing. These are best, as I say, or repeat, picked up on temporary setbacks, and there will be plenty of those. Supply is thin. These markets tend to be really quite volatile. Not gold so much, but silver certainly is hugely volatile. The industrial metals are quite volatile, but I continue to like these supply inelasticity trades. And I am about to buy some more tin, and roll in addition to rolling my position forward. I do feel that we have secular bull markets in the supply and elasticity trades, but as I say, they will be punctuated by frequent and occasionally quite sharp downward reactions. Not least being the medium-term correction here that we're seeing in the energy trades, oil and natural gas. Soft commodities, agricultural commodities, I maintain that the grain and bean complex and also cotton, these are dirt cheap. And I think that we can look forward to some significant moves on the upside come next year. Now, the timing of that will depend largely on weather conditions. That's the main factor, though, and a very important secondary factor will be demand from China. And China has stepped up its buying of some of the grains and beans in the last few weeks. But these are very much in the baby steps stage of the cycle, and it's important to acquire on weakness and lightly, and let a little out on the technical rallies. And I think that's pretty much it, folks. So before the voice gives out, I'll just say that I wish you all a very happy, healthy, and prosperous New Year, with the emphasis on the health and happiness, as I said in my comment of the day. Without that, we don't enjoy the prosperity anywhere near so much. And say that I have enjoyed this last year in dealing with the daunting challenge of trying to make sense of these markets and come up with profitable trades and investments for us all. And I look forward to continuing the challenge, providing this service for you in 2005. A very, very happy new year.